BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off. Be back with me tomorrow. Special show tomorrow. We'll be in for afternoons. Evan and Tiki are off, so we'll be on following the Yankees game here on the Fan. Also, we'll be on SNY following the Met game. So a little TV debut for BT and I. One off as we fill in for Evan and Tiki. Looking forward to that tomorrow. We'll get back to the Mets calls here in a second. 888-808-1019. As for the Yankees, I mean, no secret, the Yankees are going to be going all in, at least their version of all in. They already get Jazz, and he has had his impacts felt in just two games. Looked great defensively at third base last night. Of course, a couple of homers as well. Here's the difference with the Yankees. You know, everybody was screaming, and OBT and I were yelling about it too, and I did not think the Yankees could be fixed at the trade deadline. And that was right. They can't be fixed at the deadline. What had to happen was the guys from within starting to play better. That has been the difference. While Jazz has been great in two games, the Yankees' offense has gotten going since really Friday night. After the Mets, I don't want to say left town, but after the Mets series, the Yankees' bats picked it up. Against right-handed pitching, they've been mashing. Okay, so now why is that the case? It's a very simple answer. It's not new players. It's not, well, they didn't trade for Vlad Guerrero or, you know, Ryan McMahon. Obviously, and Jazz has only played one, you know, the two games here and had impact really in just one of them. But it's because Verdugo is getting on base, because Austin Wells has been an impact bat. Those guys sandwiching Soto and Judge have made all the difference in the world. If Alex Verdugo was going to be on base three times a night and you got Austin Wells protecting Aaron Judge, it forces teams, stupid teams, to pitch to Judge. I would never do it. I don't care what the circumstances are. I know the best guys get out 7 out of 10 times, right? You hit 300, you're in the Hall of Fame, meaning you're getting out 7 out of 10 times. Doesn't matter with Judge. I'm not pitching to him. Maybe unless the game was on the line, because that seems to be the only time Judge, I'm not trying to mock him, but I mean, Judge has got to prove himself in the postseason and in the clutch. That's left to be determined. That's it. Otherwise, the guy's the best player I've ever seen in my life. I stand by that. And he gets better every day. You can't throw him a strike. You pitch to Judge, you're going to pay. And there's no reason why the Phillies or the Red Sox should be pitching to Judge as much as they have. But they're in a spot in certain situations where it is a little more difficult to pitch around him because Verdugo's getting on in front of him, because Austin Wells is producing behind him, and so on. And it's not even the presence of Giancarlo Stanton. Everybody's saying, oh, wait till Stanton gets back. Oh, they desperately miss Stanton. No, this had nothing to turn around and nothing to do with Giancarlo Stanton. Gleyber was producing since the All-Star break. Ben Rice gives you quality at-bats. All of a sudden, Volpe has gotten it back since the All-Star break. Wells, as we mentioned, Verdugo, all of a sudden, the guys that they had there starting to produce again. Now, the issue is, and we expect the Yankees to make some moves, but as I said yesterday, I don't anticipate that lineup being changed at all. Maybe a bench piece, try to upgrade the bench, sure. But I think the lineup is what it is. They're going to try to add a starter and a bullpen arm. And we'll see what happens. If they do, who it is, I expect them to make a move, just a matter of who that's going to be. And then they're going to take their run at a World Series. The issue is, do you trust it? Can you trust that this Yankee team, who when they're on, looks like they cannot be beat, looks like one of the greatest offenses that the sport has ever seen? And, I mean, there's a good reason for that. You get two of the great players that the sport has ever seen with Soto and Judge. But is Verdugo going to keep this up? Is Austin Wells going to keep this up? Is Giancarlo going to remain in the lineup? Is Gleyber going to cost them dearly in a big spot? Whether a clutch at bat, whether a bonehead play at second base. Is Volpe going to be able to maintain his quality play as of late? There are still a lot of question marks with this team, but it is all from within. There was no way to completely fix the Yankees at the trade deadline as bad as they were playing. Literally the second worst team in baseball for an extended period since, what, June 7th, whatever it may be, right there with the White Sox. So how do you fix that? The guys from, you can make some additions, as they have, and will continue to do so, but you can't just revamp the entire thing. The guys they have here had to get the job done, and they're starting to do that again, and it's made all the difference in the world. So now the only question is, can they maintain it the rest of the regular season, and will they do it in the postseason? And that really is the biggest key. As the ship has been now righted, you feel like, okay, postseason's foregone conclusion, as it should be for the Yankees, but how's it going to then look in October? And not just the question marks in October about Verdugo or Wells or Torres or Volpe, But more specifically, Aaron Judge. I mean, what Judge is doing, I really do think we still take it for granted. It's automatic with this guy. It's automatic with him. You throw him a strike, he makes you pay. He mashes, usually for a home run, but he's going to mash it. He's so damn good. Every aspect of the game, leadership, attitude, defense, base paths, at the plate, like there's nothing Aaron Judge cannot do. Greatest player, he has surpassed in my mind the greatest player I've ever seen in my lifetime, Barry Bonds, and we know what Bonds was doing. Now, Bonds I always thought was great even before the PED stuff, but he was, you know, superhuman beyond that. He was beyond superhuman. He was a different planet, Bonds, once he started doing the PED stuff, but still always the best player that I had ever seen until now. It's Aaron Judge. McGuire was always the best home run hitter that I've seen. Bonds was the best all-around player that I'd seen. Judge is the best at both those now. He's the best pure home run hitter I've ever seen and the best all-around player that I've ever seen in my life. Remarkable how consistent this guy dominates. The only way you slow him down is if you don't pitch to him. And to me, it's mind-boggling how many teams continue to pitch to him and continue to get burned. But with all that being said, Judge needs to be able to go out there and perform like this, not close to this level, like this, at this level, through the postseason to get this team back to their first World Series since 2009, to win their first World Series since 2009. That's the only thing left he's got to accomplish. Has the home run record, all-time great player already, MVP. He's got to get to and win a World Series because that's how the greatest Yankees, I mean, I know Donnie Baseball didn't win one, but ultimately, especially after the dynasty, the Yankees are judged by winning. And Judge is yet to do that in the postseason. And it's been his teams since 2017. The emergence of Judge in 2017 and the Yankees out of nowhere getting to a Game 7 of the ALCS. And they haven't been back to that point since. I thought it was going to happen in 2018, 2019, 2020. It hasn't happened. And they started to go downhill after 2020. Bad regular season in 2021. They make the trades. They get to the wild card. You know, and then inconsistency. One half great, one half bad. Postseason bad. One half great, one half bad. Last year they missed the postseason altogether. In large part because of the injury to Judge. This year's different. They've been healthy, Judge and Soto. And the Yankees have still been an inconsistent group. You know, I haven't even mentioned the pitching yet. And Gerrit Cole goes tonight. It's a big start. Luis Gil has turned it around after a little rough patch. The only thing you worry about him is the innings. Reaching a new career high in innings here. Coming off the injury. So what will his impact be in, you know, 3 months from now? Because they're going to need him in October. I'll have trust issues with this Yankees team. I've seen them look like the best team in baseball for an extended period. I've seen them look like the worst team in baseball for an extended period. Until I see them perform at this type level that they've been going at here, at least offensively, for the last, you know, four games here, I can't trust that that's going to be the constant, or I can't expect that to be the case in October. They're going to have to prove it to me. Fooled me once earlier in the year. I thought for sure they were going to roll. And then they hit that extended rough patch. It was 7 weeks, not 7 games. Not 2 weeks, 7 weeks of bad baseball. These same guys. So I'll need to see it in October to believe it. But man, when they are on, they look like they cannot be stopped. Anthony's calling from Harrisburg. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Ant. How are you?
Hey, I don't know if it's Gen Z or what the heck's going on with the everyday Yankee fan, but you know, back in the day, I remember the Yankees being, you know, uber aggressive at this time of year. Now, not every prospect hits, and there's no guarantee that Soto is going to be staying after this year. I don't understand why Yankee fans, and I'm a Yankee fan, automatically assume he's going to stay. So why not go to Detroit and say, look, we want Scuba, we'll get Urshela, bring him back. Because, you know, a lot of October is about chemistry, Sal. You know that.
Yes.
Bring a guy back to New York like Urshela. He knows New York. The fans love him. He's a fan favorite. Get rid of Spencer Jones. Give him Dominguez. Give him Glaber. Give him whatever the hell they want. You're only going to have Judge and Soto this good for so long. I mean, you got to take advantage and strike while the iron's hot. You've been talking about I don't understand why the Yanks aren't more aggressive.
Well,
I mean,
we don't know yet. We don't know yet, Anthony, and thank you for the call. It feels like, and again, who the hell knows what to believe at this time, because there were definitely smoke screens thrown out there and leaks from certain sides, and that's what I think the Giants is. The Giants, the report was Bob Nightingale said that the Giants are now planning on holding on to Blake Snell. I'm calling BS on that. I think the Giants are leaking that to let teams know, like, yeah, we'll just keep him if we want. If we don't get what we want from him. I'm not buying that. I think for the right price, they will end up moving Blake Snell. So I'm calling bluff on them. And with the Yankees, though, it feels like they're closer to making a big move. You're right, though. Whoever gets Skubal, assuming that he is available, and again, for the right price, I think anybody could be had. I've used the example yesterday. I'll do it again. The Giants could have had Drake May for the right price. They weren't, Joe Shane and the Giants front office, weren't willing to pay the price to get up to number three. Okay, so they said, you know what? We're not willing to go that high. We'll sit back. We'll trust Daniel Jones, and we'll get him a weapon with Malik Nabers. That was their choice. But they could have had Drake May if they wanted. Overpay, whatever it may be, doesn't matter. Ernie Accorsi years ago, he wanted Eli Manning. Didn't care what the price was. I need Eli Manning. And he got him. And look what happened. Those decisions have to be right, but that's why those guys make the big bucks. That's why Ernie Accorsi is now a legend. But whoever gets Skubal is going to be the winner of this trade deadline, assuming that he does get dealt. And if he doesn't, okay, respect to the Tigers. They didn't feel like they got the right package to hold on to him. Obviously, he's a valuable piece. If the Yankees did that, that is a massive blockbuster trade. That's the deal that you do. Now, at the same time, I'd say I'd be reluctant to give up Dominguez just because of the potential that you saw in the seven games a year ago. But still, would you care about Dominguez if Skubal comes out here and helps you win a World Series this year? And obviously, the plan is to sign Soto, but you're going for it right now. You're in. You're in the season. Yankees have as good a chance as anybody to win the World Series. I do get the feeling, though, that the Yankees have a big move up their sleeve. They've fallen short in recent years. I get the feeling it's different this year. Now, we'll see. I don't get the feeling that the Mets are going to do that. They should. And I think that they want to a certain extent, but based on all the reporting so far, hard to trust that the Mets are going to make that big move. It will kind of come out of nowhere. Ultimately, deep down, I believe in Steve and trust that he wants to make king-like moves. I'm a little worried that he's still scared after 2021 and all the talk about the farm system BS is going to prevent him from maybe going all in. So I'm not sure really what to believe, but just right now, because I want to believe that he's going to be acting like a king, and I want to believe that he believes he needs to do that. But right now, based on the reporting, I mean, go based off of Andy Martino's tweet a couple hours ago, where he was saying, I got to find the exact tweet here. Let me get this for you before I take another call here. Pull it up, Andy Martino, here we go. The exact quote, there's a bunch of things in here. Come on, Andy. This was his tweet a couple hours ago. Yankees working hard on multiple fronts, holding their cards close, but they're a team to watch today. And then he says the Mets are likely to add at least one pitcher. I mean, that kind of gets the bad feel. But again, that doesn't mean it, you know, it can't happen still. Just reading Andy's tweets here too, also saying Giants are looking for top prospects. In addition to paying the salary for Blake Snell, we knew about that. Trevor Rogers, who's a pitcher for the Marlins, Mets have discussed him. See, that's what I mean. That's not enough. That's nothing. I think the Yankees have a big move up their sleeve. The Mets better have a big move up their sleeve. Jason is calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Jason?
Yeah, hey, Sal. What's up, bro? How are you, man?
How are you, Jason?
Yeah, doing good. I haven't talked to you since you left overnight, so I mean, it's good to talk to you.
Good to hear from you, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Listen, before I get to my Met point, I know you mentioned about Judge, but I can never say that anybody's better than Griffey Jr. or Bonds. So to me, those two guys are as even Ricky Henderson is. You know, I know he's a different kind of player, mm-hmm. more dynamic, but you know, those guys are just just better. He's done nothing. Not always like category yet. Listen, the Mets, they have the chance with this lineup to make a big move. And what they need to do is, I know they're probably not going to do it, but if they could ever get a guy like Skubal, you know, that's the guy I'd be, trying to pinpoint. I know they need some relief depth. They need another relief pitcher, but if they could trade for that kind of ace with this lineup, I mean, this team could really win the pennant because, and I know the Phillies have been great this year, but I don't know what they're going to do in October. I don't know how well they're going to play. So I think the Mets should go for it. Schoolboy, put the package together and get it done, man. Good talking.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. A little rough line there, but we do appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. Yeah, that's the point. And Schoolboy's a guy, he's a perfect fit, and you're going to have to give up a lot to get him, but there's a reason for that. He's the best fit, and he's under control. Young top-of-the-rotation starter. The Mets need that anyway going into next year. Take on a bad contract, give him a couple of prospects, call it a day. You excite the fan base to the highest of levels. You go out there and try to win a World Series this year. What's the better move? Sit back and wait for one of these guys to come up and produce in 3 years? I mean, come on. How many times you got to hear about that over the years with every team? I understand the importance of building through the farm and having a good farm system. I also understand the importance of going for it when the opportunity is there and trading a prospect for a known commodity. The top Mets prospect pitchers and players, you have no idea what they're going to turn out to be. Now, you want to say from the Tigers' perspective, well, the Mets don't have enough to get him with their prospects? Okay, then you figure out another way to do it, like money. But again, he's not the only option. Blake Snell can definitely be had. I'm not buying the Giants. You can get Blake Snell for the right price. Pick a prospect. Offer that to him, a top 10 prospect, the one that you think is least likely to pan out. Give him another lower-level prospect, maybe a top 20, and take on the salary. End of story. And now you got yourself a top pitcher for this year. Whether he wants to take the option next year or whatever, okay, it's a different story. But you're going to need pitching anyway next year. But it's about now. This is about in the now. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
How are you, Hector?
Getting some real overnight vibes here, man. The energy you're bringing tonight is reminds me of the overnight energy you had. And I appreciate what you're saying, man, because this is the time. Like one of the callers said, if it's not now, then when? But I have a question for you, but you know what makes me laugh? And I'm almost feeling like next season vibes, right? So I don't see a powerhouse. Who's a team that's unbeatable in this league right now that's for sure going to win a World Series? Just like there was nobody in the NBA. Now, you could say the Celtics were the favorites the whole time and they went ahead and won it. Okay, whatever. But I know many fans feel like if the Knicks didn't get hurt, they could have made a run to that NBA Finals. You know what I'm saying?
I believe that myself, too. If Randall stayed healthy and Ananobi the whole year, I do believe that could have been the case. Now, likely they would have been beaten by Boston, who was just an all-time great team. Sure, but I think the Knicks would have had at least a chance. And I think it's even more open, Hector, in Major League Baseball than it was in the NBA.
Exactly. So this is what I want to ask you, though, because we believe, right? We think this team is worth going on the run. We think they showed us enough. And I really believe that. So, yeah, they started out bad. But what they've done now since they turned it around is they haven't taken any steps back. Maybe they take one, but they haven't taken those 4, 5, 6 steps back that they usually do after they take 3 forward. You understand what
I'm saying? But it feels like people are waiting for that, and I hate that.
I hate that they're waiting for that.
No,
I
don't.
You think David Stearns still doesn't believe?
No. So I think they believe.
As we do, you know?
Remember, Hector.
Separate them.
Who? Stearns and Cohen?
Maybe Steve Cohen wants to go for it. Maybe Steve Cohen. But David Stearns is still a little skeptical whether he believes in all of these guys here or not. And doesn't want to.
Good question. I believe Stearns believes in him. And I also believe he's being nudged by the owner. Like, hey, we got to go for it here.
Well, that's my question. Do we want the owner? You know, sometimes I don't think you want a meddling owner, but then there's a time where maybe the owner does need to step in and say, hey, listen, man, I understand what we want to do. I'm all for the farm system. But maybe right now, like, no, I want to go for it. Let's make this move. And again, like we all say, we're not talking about mortgaging the whole farm system that we've worked to get along. But this is part of it. It's not because everybody's going to come and be a star. It's because it also provides capital, not only money to go throw at free agents, but capital and players that you can go make trade.
Right. There's multiple ways to do it, Hector, and thank you for the call. The bottom line is this. They have to figure out how to do it, but it needs to be done. You cannot let opportunities like this fall by the wayside. You cannot do that. They're six games over 500. They've been one of the best teams in baseball for 2 months. It's wide open in Major League Baseball in today's landscape with the expanded postseason. Specifically in the National League, look at it. Like, the Mets could beat them. I'm not saying they're going to, and I'm not saying they're as good as the Phillies or Dodgers, but we've seen other teams. Look at it in 2022. The Mets and Braves had a 14-game lead over the Phillies, who went to the World Series. The whole season in 2022 was about the Mets and Braves, Mets and Braves, Mets and Braves. And here comes the third-place team that finished 14 games behind them, and they go to the World Series. So we've seen crazy stuff happen. And I don't think it's crazy to say that this New York Mets team, with the right additions, starting pitcher, top end, and a legitimate bullpen arm, can be a World Series team. It's not crazy. Go for it. We're going to learn a lot about Steve Cohen. We'll learn a lot in the offseason. We talked about that big offseason coming up with Soto looming and all that stuff, but we are going to learn a lot. We thought it was going to be for a different way. Who they were going to trade off and all that stuff. Well, now here we are in the opposite situation. The Mets are in a position to be big-time buyers. Are they going to dip their toe in the water or just dive right in? Fanatics Fest NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through August 18th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be a part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. It's from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit FanaticsFest.com for the full athletic lineup. Going to be many, many big sports names on hand. I was looking at the list. Incredible. And we'll have some fun doing our shows out there. BT and I will be out there that Friday. Evan and Tiki going to follow us as well. We get some weekend shows out there. It's going to be a fun time. I can't wait for that weekend and see what that's all about. First ever. So check that out for the Fanatics Fest. Mark is calling from Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good,
hey,
Mark.
So I've been going to Met games for a long time, and Friday night, the energy in that building was second to only a playoff game. And today is Stearns and King Cohen's day to recreate 2015.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to have it end differently, but you're right. This is an opportunity. You know, the Mets had an opportunity, Mark, in 2015 to go for it. They waited. They tried to make a move, which would have been the wrong move. You know, the whole Carlos Gomez and, yep, and Wilmer Flores thing. They ended up backing into it, but they got the job done in getting Yoenis Cespedes. It excited the fan base. I'll never forget it. At the time when they made that move at the last minute, the deadline, everybody was invigorated and all pumped up, and then we saw the results play out to the highest extent. Nobody ever dreamed that it would do that. Took off like a rocket ship after that and ended in a World Series berth. That can happen again. You're right. The crowd is ready to go. Met fans are foaming at the mouth. You saw it Friday night. You've seen it during this homestand here. They're ready to go. The Mets need to be there with them and make the right additions and go for it at the deadline. Not just add a starter. They need big name, top end starter, and a bullpen arm.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Mark. Really great addition. Bringing up some stuff right there. Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Sal, all the time. I appreciate you taking my call. Pleasure talking to you. I enjoyed your press conference on the show last night. First, I can't agree with you. I can't agree with you more on what they have to do. They have to make a move, especially with Scott and Senga going down before the trade deadline. But here's what I'm afraid of. I was watching a post game last night. What I'm afraid they're going to do is move Buto to the starting rotation and get like a mid-level reliever. And I think that they're going to pull the reins back and go conservative on us. And I think I'm afraid they're going to let us down. I'd love for them to go big, but that's what I'm afraid of. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Keep it up, buddy. I enjoy you so much on the show at night.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate it very much. You're referencing Baseball Night in New York, and I appreciate you watching and listening to us here. Now, you mentioned Buto, and it's something that I brought up. I had in my notes I was going to get to later, but what better time than now? Buto is, you could see it was clear last night, they're going to stretch him back out to be a starter. I mean, I don't know that. This is not inside information. I think it was clear last night, and then them alluding to it and also do the math. They don't want to pay the price that it's going to take to get a top starter, so stretch Buto out and go get a bullpen arm. Now, if the Mets today go get Tanner Scott from the Marlins and then stretch Budo out to be a starter? Am I going to flip out tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, I'll figure out how I feel at 6 o'clock. It still would not be enough to me. Like, that's not enough, but that's at least the minimum that they could do. If they're not going to get a top-end starter, they have to get the best bullpen arm available. And in that case, Budo, stretch him out to be a starter. You have Scott. You live with it. It's still just not enough, though. Who's pitching game one of the postseason? You plan on getting to the postseason. Once you get there, you want to win in the postseason. You have to have somebody take the mound for game one of the postseason. I like Quintana. I like Severino. Yeah, I like Buto. They don't have a top starter. You need that in the postseason. They've got a bunch of like threes and fours, solid threes and fours, but you need at least, I mean, if you don't have a one, you got to get a number two. They don't have that. I thought Scott could have been that. Obviously, he got hurt, and he wasn't that anyway. Now, maybe the injury was playing a part of that, but he's still got ways to go. He's got that potential, but he wasn't there yet. And Senga clearly was that, but he's been a non-factor this year. Pitched the one game and then got hurt for the season. He's been out all year, finally decided that he wanted to join the party and be a part of it, and by the time he gets out there, he's not in shape, and he hurts his calf for the year. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go get a starter. That's what you need to do. So I'm not saying I wouldn't stretch Budo out. I love him as a weapon out of the bullpen. But I understand stretching him out. Now, if they do that and make him a starter, it's still not a top starter. That's the problem. Where Budo in the bullpen could be as good of arm as there is. He's been that. He's been a weapon out of the bullpen, a major weapon for them. So he's on par with whatever reliever they could acquire. He's become that. They still need more, but he's become that. If you take him out of that bullpen and stretch him out as a starter, all right, you have more depth in your rotation, and he's solid, but he's not a top guy. He's not starting game one in the postseason. Frank is calling from Totowa. Well, what's up, Frank?
Yes, Al. First point, and you're exactly right, 100%. All you have to do in today's Major League Baseball is get in the playoffs. That's all you have to do. Just get in and let it all roll out from there. Second point, I'm a Tigers fan. I'm not that close to the situation out there, but I have heard that to deal Skubal, you're going to have to find a team that's willing to take on the Baez contract.
You heard that? That's actually been reported?
It hasn't been reported, but it's pretty well known that. The Baez contract is a real big drag on the organization.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you.
Let me finish.
I will, but let me just say that I said that Monday, I think, to BT, and I legit, and I don't know if it's been reported or people brought that up elsewhere, but for me, it was just one that I knew about because I knew Baez signed there for a big contract and it was a bad contract, so I just did the math of putting them together. I did not think that there was any legitimacy to it, but it does make sense if you think about it, Frank, that if you want Skubal, get them out from under that awful contract. That's the easiest way to do it if you don't want to give up multiple top prospects. It may take Baez and a top prospect, but I bet you the Tigers would be willing to talk if you were willing to take on the Baez contract. Go ahead, Frank. Frank, you there? Hey, Frank, you wanted to talk, and I'm letting you go. And what happened? You hung up? I mean, come on. Hey, Frank, I mean, what are we doing here? You said you wanted to get more stuff. I just wanted to talk for a second. I was going to let you go. I leave you on the line. You go to respond. You're not there. Now it makes me think I should have hung up on you in the first place. No, but thank you, Frank, for the call and for the different perspective from the Tigers' perspective. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about that other than using common sense, which a lot of times can get you through. Jason is calling from Hampton, Connecticut. What's up, Jason? What do we got here? We have a problem? Oh, my God. I mean, what are we doing here? We can't get the phones working? Good God. These new systems, they cost an arm and a leg, and they don't work. How are we supposed to do a talk show with the phones not working? Especially on deadline day. No wonder why. So now I apologize, Frank. It wasn't you. It was the phone system. Good God, reset this damn thing and get it going. Like, it's one thing to have a sloppy studio, which, whatever. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, and I'm fine with it, but it's not great. These computers don't work. I'll give you an example. Not only can I not see this computer, and part of that is because of my bad eyesight, but there's an antivirus thing that continues to pop up every time I go with this. Norton Security Antivirus. There's four screens popping up here that I can't get out of. Just trying to look at the damn standings or a box score, and you got the antivirus stuff popping up. So it's too much to ask for a new computer. I don't even need the computer. I'll throw the thing out the window, and I could use the phone, use my phone to look stuff up. However, we do need working phones here. I mean, I hesitate to go back to it because I've been burned before. Let's try it again here. Frank is in total. Frank?
Yes, Al.
Oh, good God. All right. Sorry about that, Frank. Now, continue, please.
No, that's okay. I actually thought I disconnected the call.
No, it's a crappy phone system here, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So my point was, is I'm pretty sure Scott Harris probably reached out to Cashman already about this. You know, I would think that, you know, simple-minded or fair-minded people would have tried to make this deal happen. But the point I would like to make is that Scoobal, Baez, and a return package of something including Cortez, Glaber,
the problem you have, Frank,
Glaber and Dominguez, I think that would probably do it.
Right. Well, I mean, I would assume that would do it. The problem is the Yankees aren't taking on the contract of Baez. The Mets might be willing to do
that.
Why
not?
Yankees don't have the money. They don't want to spend the money. The Yankees, there's no way the Yankees would take on the contract of Baez. No way. Now, you're right.
If the Yankees said, they wouldn't do that. I mean, it's such a big contract, and the guy's completely in the tank. I mean,
understood, but the Yankees, and thank you for the call, Frank, the Yankees aren't a fit because their owner continues to talk about the luxury tax threshold, which I understand to a certain extent, but he's also trying to re-sign Juan Soto in the offseason. So there's no way the Yankees, while that would be great in theory, there's no way and by the way, I don't even know if the Yankees would take on that contract and give up Dominguez. From the Tigers' perspective, yeah, you do it. You get rid of Baez, you get Dominguez back, sure. You get Cortez and Torres so you can help them out. It's a home run for the Tigers. And Scoobal is a tremendous player, sure, a tremendous pitcher. But there's no way the Yankees are taking on the Baez contract. The Mets might be more willing to do that because the Mets don't want to give up the prospects. They don't have a guy like Dominguez anyway. So they have to. The Mets' biggest appeal in a Scoobal deal would be to take on the contract of Baez, or at least a significant portion of it, and then give back a prospect or two. There are ways the Mets can make that work. The Yankees cannot. I'm not saying the Yankees couldn't get it done. They don't want to take on. They would not take on the Javi Baez contract. By the way, I'm not so sure the Mets would. They should. You either have to take on money or give up prospects. Otherwise, you can't get better. It's one or the other. Sometimes both. Which one is it? In trade deadline, it's take on money. In the offseason, it's spend money. Prospects, money. That's the capital to get good players. The Mets have the money. The owner's been willing to do so. That's why it's a better fit to me, at least for the Mets, than the Yankees. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT off. We'll be back with us tomorrow. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off. Be back with us tomorrow as we'll be filling in for Evan and Tiki. So we'll be on Afternoon Drive and also SNY. So we'll be on following the Yankee game here and then on SNY following the Met game. Looking forward to that. One thing, Hoff, I don't know if you've seen this. You have HBO, Hoff? And by the way, before you get HBO, I didn't want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring this up here. So we did last week, actually. Is today, what day is today? Is today Thursday?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. Jeez, I was wishing it was Thursday. It's only Tuesday. God. Last week, we did the show at the Joe Torre Foundation on Thursday. And, you know, we had to drive there. It's at the golf course in Westchester. And as we're saying goodbye, Hoff gets in his car and rolls by. And I noticed, Hoff, that you had a couple of hubcaps missing. And I was thinking to myself, what's going on there?
Wait, how does this go from HBO?
Well, because I was going to say, you got to get yourself HBO if you don't have it. Then I was like, well, you better take care of the hubcap situation first. What's going on with the hubcaps on your car?
First of all, I have a car. It's very reliable. The only thing that's not reliable is the hubcaps. I've got
like people stealing them or what? What's going on?
They just fall off. I drive my car.
They fall off.
I've seen them at the back of my windshield mirror.
There goes another one.
Yeah, it just flies off.
How many of the four do you have? Because I saw two missing.
I only have one left.
Well, why don't just take that one off then?
Well, I'm going to do that today, I think. I've replaced them. I've actually spent $85 on replacements about four or five times, and they just keep falling off, and I've given up.
Yeah. It has that look, you know.
And listen, it's not just my car. It's the specific model. Okay. I've seen other car, my exact right. model.
Oh, okay. So it's a problem with the hubcaps.
Yeah.
Have you taken it back to the dealer? And obviously don't mention yeah. who, but like if you yeah, take it back to them
I've
and like,
hey. I purchased them from them. I said, hey, can I buy a new one? There, sure, no problem. They put it right on, stick it on.
Don't they just like clip on hubcaps?
Yeah, they
certain
do.
Ones?
And then they fall right off.
You got to figure that out. It's just,
I think I'm done with the hubcaps.
We're at like a high end, like, dude, I didn't feel like I belonged at all. You know, we're there at the parking lot. It's a beautiful place, beautiful scene. And here comes Hoff rolling up in a no hubcap.
Plus, I have a huge scratch that looks like my car got keyed from the back end to the from the passenger side, the back end to the front. Yeah. And it's probably the one day I parked my car on the street and some car must have just like,
nice.
And I haven't got it fixed yet. So
I guess, in short, forget about HBO. Maybe it's time to look into a new whip.
I was trying to, but yeah. We're going to give it to the kid.
Yeah.
All
oh, the there you go. First car. You better put some hubcaps on it for him. He can't be showing up to school like
he
that.
He can invest into that. Listen, everything about the car is great except for the hubcaps. So he can invest and spice it up as much as he wants.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Have you
seen the Pete Rose show? That's on Max?
No.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. I forget what it's called. It might be called Charlie Hustle, The Story of Pete Rose. I cannot get enough of it. I can't wait to get him. You know, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately. We had, I guess it could be unfortunately. We had my wife's friends staying over. They're visiting this past weekend, so we didn't have like our normal routine of watching shows, so now we're behind. So I had to watch last night House of Dragons, which was fantastic. You watched that one, Hoff, or no? House of Dragons?
Yeah, it kind of sucks, though.
What? You've been saying that all year long. It's been great.
It is, and I'm so just take this what it is. I love the band Tool. It's like when Tool put out this album called Anima. Amazing. The ups and downs were beautiful. Yeah. The next album, there's a lot of ups, and there's not that many ups, and it takes a long time to get there. It's not very impressive.
Dude, this has been, it takes a lot to get my attention now, especially with social media and the phone and whatever. I love this show. We legit look forward to it every Sunday night. So I had to watch that last night, plus Housewives, New Jersey Housewives. I'm all into that, so we had to watch that. So I'm behind in my Pete Rose thing, and now tonight we got Hard Knocks as well, so I can't keep up. But the Pete Rose show on HBO, it's fascinating, and it is such
It's called Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose. Man, do I enjoy that. Now, I will say, as much as I'm a fan of Pete Rose on the field, I can certainly see the issues off.
Sal, all the time. I appreciate you taking my call. Pleasure talking to you. I enjoyed your press conference on the show last night first. I can't agree with you. I can't agree with you more on what they have to do. They have to make a move, especially with Scott and Senga going down before the trade deadline. But here's what I'm afraid of. I was watching a post game last night. What I'm afraid they're going to do is move Buteau to the starting rotation and get like a mid-level reliever. And I think that they're going to pull the reins back and go conservative on us. And I think I'm afraid they're going to let us down. I'd love for them to go big, but that's what I'm afraid of. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Keep it up, buddy. I enjoy you so much on the show at night.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate it very much. You're referencing Baseball Night in New York, and I appreciate you watching and listening to us here. Now, you mentioned Buteau, and it's something that I brought up. I had in my notes I was going to get to later, but what better time than now? Buteau is, you could see it was clear last night, they're going to stretch him back out to be a starter. I mean, I don't know that. This is not inside information. I think it was clear last night, and then them alluding to it and also do the math. They don't want to pay the price that it's going to take to get a top starter, so stretch Buteau out and go get a bullpen arm. Now, if the Mets today go get Tanner Scott from the Marlins and then stretch Buteau out to be a starter, am I going to flip out tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, I'll figure out how I feel at 6 o'clock. It still would not be enough to me. Like, that's not enough, but that's at least the minimum that they could do. If they're not going to get a top-end starter, they have to get the best bullpen arm available. And in that case, Buteau, stretch him out to be a starter. You have Scott. You live with it. It's still just not enough, though. Who's pitching game one of the postseason? You plan on getting to the postseason. Once you get there, you want to win in the postseason. You have to have somebody take the mound for game one of the postseason. I like Quintana. I like Severino. Yeah, I like Buteau. They don't have a top starter. You need that in the postseason. They've got a bunch of like threes and fours, solid threes and fours, but you need at least, I mean, if you don't have a one, you got to get a number two. They don't have that. I thought Scott could have been that. Obviously, he got hurt, and he wasn't that anyway. Now, maybe the injury was playing a part of that, but he's still got ways to go. He's got that potential, but he wasn't there yet. And Senga clearly was that, but he's been a non-factor this year. Pitched the one game and then got hurt for the season. He's been out all year, finally decided that he wanted to join the party and be a part of it. And by the time he gets out there, he's not in shape, and he hurts his calf for the year. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Go get a starter. That's what you need to do. So I'm not saying I wouldn't stretch Buddo out. I love him as a weapon out of the bullpen, but I understand stretching him out. Now, if they do that and make him a starter, it's still not a top starter. That's the problem. Where Buddo in the bullpen could be as good of arm as there is. He's been that. He's been a weapon out of the bullpen, a major weapon for them. So he's on par with whatever reliever they could acquire. He's become that. They still need more, but he's become that. If you take him out of that bullpen and stretch him out as a starter, all right, you have more depth in your rotation, and he's solid, but he's not a top guy. He's not starting game one in the postseason. Frank is calling from Totowa. What's up, Frank?
Yes, Al. First point, and you're exactly right, 100%. All you have to do in today's Major League Baseball is get in the playoffs. That's all you have to do. Just get in and let it all roll out from there. Second point, I'm a Tigers fan. I'm not that close to the situation out there, but I have heard that, to deal Scooble, you're going to have to find a team that's willing to take on the Baez contract.
You heard that? That's actually been reported?
It hasn't been reported, but it's pretty well known that the Baez contract is a real big drag on the organization.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you.
Let me finish,
I will, but let me just say that I said that Monday, I think, to BT, and I legit, and I don't know if it's been reported or people brought that up elsewhere, but for me, it was just one that I knew about because I knew Baez signed there for a big contract and it was a bad contract. So I just did the math of putting them together. I did not think that there was any legitimacy to it. But it does make sense if you think about it, Frank, that if you want Scooble, get them out from under that awful contract. That's the easiest way to do it if you don't want to give up multiple top prospects. It may take Baez and a top prospect, but I bet you the Tigers would be willing to talk if you were willing to take on the Baez contract. Go ahead, Frank. Frank, you there? Hey, Frank, you wanted to talk, and I'm letting you go. And what happened? You hung up? I mean, come on. Hey, Frank, I mean, what are we doing here? You said you wanted to get more stuff. I just wanted to talk for a second. I was going to let you go. I leave you on the line. You go to respond. You're not there. Now it makes me think I should have hung up on you in the first place. No, but thank you, Frank, for the call and for the different perspective from the Tigers' perspective. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about that other than using common sense, which a lot of times can get you through. Jason is calling from Hampton, Connecticut. What's up, Jason? What do we got here? We have a problem? Oh, my God. I mean, what are we doing here? We can't get the phones working? Good God. These new systems, they cost an arm and a leg, and they don't work. How are we supposed to do a talk show with the phones not working? Especially on deadline day. No wonder why. So now I apologize, Frank. It wasn't you. It was the phone system. Good God, reset this damn thing and get it going. Like, it's one thing to have a sloppy studio, which, whatever. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, and I'm fine with it, but it's not great. These computers don't work. I'll give you an example. Not only can I not see this computer, and part of that is because of my bad eyesight, but there's an antivirus thing that continues to pop up every time I go with this. Norton Security antivirus. There's four screens popping up here that I can't get out of. Just trying to look at the damn standings or a box score, and you got the antivirus stuff popping up. So it's too much to ask for a new computer. I don't even need the computer. I'll throw the thing out the window, and I could use my phone to look stuff up. However, we do need working phones here. I mean, I hesitate to go back to it because I've been burned before. Let's try it again here. Frank is in total. Frank?
Yes, Al.
Oh, good God. All right, sorry about that, Frank. Now continue, please.
No, that's okay. I actually thought I disconnected the call.
No, it's a crappy phone system here, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. So my point was is I'm pretty sure Scott Harris probably reached out to Cashman already about this. You know, I would think that,
simple-minded or fair-minded people would have tried to make this deal happen. But the point I would like to make is that Skubal, Baez, and a return package of something including Cortez, Glaber,
The problem you have, Frank,
Glaber and Dominguez, I think that would probably do it.
Right. Well, I mean, I would assume that would do it. The problem is the Yankees aren't taking on the contract of Baez. The Mets might be willing to do
Why
that.
Why not?
Yankees don't have the money. No. They don't want to spend the money. The Yankees, there's no way the Yankees would take on the contract of Baez. No way. Now, you're right.
If the Yankees said, wouldn't do that. I mean, it's such a big contract, and the guy's completely in the tank. I mean,
Understood, but the Yankees, and thank you for the call, Frank, the Yankees aren't a fit because their owner continues to talk about the luxury tax threshold, which I understand to a certain extent, but he's also trying to re-sign Juan Soto in the offseason. So there's no way the Yankees, while that would be great in theory, there's no way and by the way, I don't even know if the Yankees would take on that contract and give up Dominguez. From the Tigers' perspective, yeah, you do it. You get rid of Baez, you get Dominguez back, sure. You get Cortez and Torres so you can help them out. That's a home run for the Tigers. And Skubal is a tremendous player, sure, a tremendous pitcher. But there's no way the Yankees are taking on the Baez contract. The Mets might be more willing to do that because the Mets don't want to give up the prospects. They don't have a guy like Dominguez anyway. So they have to. The Mets' biggest appeal in a Skubal deal would be to take on the contract of Baez, or at least a significant portion of it, and then give back a prospect or two. There are ways the Mets can make that work. The Yankees cannot. I'm not saying the Yankees couldn't get it done. They don't want to take on. They would not take on the Javi Baez contract. By the way, I'm not so sure the Mets would. They should. You either have to take on money or give up prospects. Otherwise, you can't get better. It's one or the other. Sometimes both. Which one is it? In trade deadline, it's take on money. In the offseason, it's spend money. Prospects, money. That's the capital to get good players. The Mets have the money. The owner's been willing to do so. That's why it's a better fit, to me at least, for the Mets than the Yankees. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT off. We'll be back with us tomorrow. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off. Be back with us tomorrow as we'll be filling in for Evan and Tiki. So we'll be on Afternoon Drive and also SNY. So we'll be on following the Yankee game here and then on SNY following the Met game. Looking forward to that. One thing, Huff, I don't know if you've seen this. You have HBO, Huff? And by the way, before you get HBO, I didn't want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring this up here. So we did last week, actually. Is today, what day is today? Is today Thursday?
Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday. Jeez, I was wishing it was Thursday. It's only Tuesday. God. Last week, we did the show at the Joe Torre Foundation on Thursday. And, you know, we had to drive there. It's at the golf course in Westchester. And as we're saying goodbye, Hoff gets in his car and rolls by. And I noticed, Hoff, that you had a couple of hubcaps missing. And I was thinking to myself, what's going on there?
Wait, how does this go from HBO?
Well, because I was going to say, you got to get yourself HBO if you don't have it. Then I was like, well, you better take care of the hubcap situation first. What's going on with the hubcaps on your car?
First of all, I have a car. It's very reliable. The only thing that's not reliable is the hubcaps. I've got
like people stealing them or what? What's going on?
They just fall off. I drive
they
my
fall
car.
Off.
I've seen them at the back of my windshield mirror.
There goes another one.
Yeah, it just flies off.
How many of the four do you have? Because I saw two missing.
I only have one left.
Well, why don't just take that one off then?
Well, I'm gonna do that today. I think I've replaced them. I've actually spent $85 on replacements about four or five times, and they just keep falling off, and I've given up.
Yeah, it has that look, you know.
And listen, it's not just my car; it's the specific model.
Okay.
I've seen other car, my exact right. model.
Oh, okay. So it's a problem with the hubcaps.
Yeah.
Have you taken it back to the dealer? And obviously, don't mention
yeah.
who. But like, if you take it back to them,
I've
and like,
purchased
hey.
Them from them. I said, hey, can I buy a new one? There, sure, no problem. They put it right on, stick it on.
Don't they just like clip on hubcaps?
Yeah, they
certain
do.
Ones,
and then they fall right off.
You got to figure that out. It's just,
I think I'm done with the hubcaps.
At,
I think I'm over.
We're at like a high end. Like, dude, I didn't feel like I belonged at all. You know, we're there at the parking lot. It's a beautiful place, beautiful scene. And here comes Hoff rolling up in a no hubcap.
Plus, I have a huge scratch that looks like my car got keyed from the back end to the passenger side, the back end to the front. Yeah. And it's probably when the one day I parked my car on the street and some car must have just like,
nice.
And I haven't got it fixed yet. So,
I guess in short, forget about HBO. Maybe it's time to look into a new whip.
I was trying to, but we're going to give it to the kid.
Yeah. There you go. First car. You better put some hubcaps on it for him. He can't be showing up to school like that.
He can invest into that. Listen, everything about the car is great except for the hubcaps. So he can invest and spice it up as much as he wants.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
I have Max, by the way. Yes,
have you seen the Pete Rose show that's on Max?
No.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. I forget what it's called. It might be called Charlie Hustle, The Story of Pete Rose. I cannot get enough of it. I can't wait to get them. You know, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately. We had, I guess it could be unfortunately. We had my wife's friends staying over. They were visiting this past weekend, so we didn't have like our normal routine of watching shows, so now we're behind. So I had to watch last night House of Dragons, which was fantastic. You watched that one, Hoff, or no? House of Dragons?
Yeah, it kind of sucks, though.
What? You've been saying that all year long. It's been great.
It is, and I'm so just take this what it is. I love the band Tool. It's like when Tool put out this album called Anima, amazing. The ups and downs were beautiful. Yeah. The next album, there's a lot of ups, and there's not that many ups, and it takes a long time to get there. It's not very impressive.
Dude, this has been, it takes a lot to get my attention now, especially with social media and the phone and whatever. I love this show. We legit look forward to it every Sunday night. So I had to watch that last night, plus Housewives, New Jersey Housewives. I'm all into that, so we had to watch that. So I'm behind in my Pete Rose thing, and now tonight we got Hard Knocks as well, so I can't keep up. But the Pete Rose show on HBO, it's fascinating, and it is such
Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose. Man, do I enjoy that. Now, I will say, as much as I'm a fan of Pete Rose on the field, I can certainly see the issues off it. I'm not just talking about the gambling stuff. Like, I don't know if Pete, like, deep down in my core, I hate to admit that I feel like I don't think Pete, deep down at his core, maybe even less than deep down, just at his core, is not a, I don't want to say not a good person, but there are some issues there, to put it mildly. And I could understand why baseball won't let him back in, not just because of the gambling thing, but it is fascinating when you think about where the sport is now and being open to gambling and all this stuff. But Rose lied forever. Plus, he bet on the sport. If you're in baseball, you can't do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you let Pete Rose back in, you know, then what happens when the next knucklehead goes out there and bets on baseball, especially with the way the world is now? So I hate it that Pete Rose can't be in the Hall of Fame and is banned from baseball and all that. Hey, matter of fact, I went out to Cincinnati. You know, I tried to go to all the ballparks years ago, 2017. I went out there, and I think that was the day that they unveiled. Yeah, because they did a little giveaway. They unveiled the Pete Rose statue in front of whatever the hell the ballpark is called out there. I want to say Riverfront, but you know what I'm talking about, wherever the Reds play. Point is, I loved Pete Rose. Loved him as a kid. You know, I'm not really old enough to appreciate what he did when he first came up, but that's what gives me a great appreciation for this series on HBO, is I do get to learn a lot from it. But and all these years I felt bad saying, they should let Pete in, hit king, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I understand why baseball has stuck to the decision that Bart Giamatti made long ago. Anyway, if you're a baseball fan, Pete Rose fan, highly recommend watching Charlie Hustle, the Pete Rose story, or whatever it may be. First, get your hubcaps situated, and then you can watch that. EJ is calling from East Meadow. What's up, EJ?
Sal. EJ. Wonderful job solo. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm with you. In theory, I'm with you. Why not go through it? But this I'm a tortured Mets fan, born in 79. So what I'm going to say is, so here, let's just play it out for a hot second, right? We're in the Philly. We get through the first round. We're playing the Phillies. The next round, they got Wheeler and Nola. And now all of a sudden we have to – one pitcher, I don't necessarily know if it does it for us. I think they should do it, and I definitely think they need a relief pitcher. Mm-hmm. And if they go Flaherty or the other guy with control, no problem.
Skubal, Snell, but, Flaherty are the top three.
Right. So no Snell. Forget Snell.
Now, but you know, you wouldn't want Snell? I would take him. I don't love him, EJ. No, I don't. I'm with you. I don't love him. I wouldn't want him before the season. However, right now, and he's been pitching well, right now, oh, man, the thought of adding.
He'd be awesome, but you know what? You'd also worry, and this is the main point. You know, so game one, whoever's throwing, no problem. Game two, we got Severino going, right? And then game three, game four, I don't want Quintana. I mean, Quintana throws a lot of junk, so maybe it might offset.
Yeah, I like him, though. I don't mind
Quintana. But then what do we do? What do we do game five, six, and seven? Because if it's Snell, we're definitely not, you know, we're still sitting on our hands and knees, you know, four, five, six, or seven. So I'm thinking, do we mortgage the future? I'm still with you that we should mortgage the future, because forget about the future. But I'm also at the same particular time. It's like, you know, what do we do? Are we beating the Yankees? Let me ask you this. If the Yankees are completely whole and we're completely whole and we get in there, are we beating the Yankees
now? I mean, the Yankees should be asking themselves, if the Mets get there, are they beating the Mets? The Mets have owned them in a non-competitive four-game Subway Series. So absolutely, the Yankees would be the last team I'd be afraid of. Mets know how to beat them. I just throw lefties at them. Snell game one, Quintana game two, Peterson game three, Manaea game four. And then back at it. Look, the Mets, forget the Yankees from a Mets perspective. If you're talking about a postseason series, and that's what we're talking about with the Mets. Who's pitching game one right now? I love Quintana. I really do. But he's not a number one starter. He's not even number two, really. I love Severino, too. He's been great for the Mets this year. He's not a number one starter. Tyler McGill, I don't want him anywhere near I wouldn't want him on the roster. Not in the bullpen, nowhere. I'd get rid of Tyler McGill. I'm over it. Manaea, eh. Buddo, yes, I do trust him if you try to stretch him back out and have him be a starter. But again, to what extent? Certainly not a top guy. Mets need a top starting pitcher. They're just going to try to get a starting pitcher. They need a top starting pitcher. Then you have that pitcher game one, Quintana, Severino, game two and three. You can work with David Peterson, game four, or Manaea, game four, and then back to, or Buddo, game four, and then back to the top. You need a top end starter and a legitimate bullpen arm. BT, it's Al on the Fan. BT off. We'll be back with us tomorrow. Come back with more of your calls on the other side. Reset. Hit with the Crown topic of the day when we come back.